Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday, so we will be breaking down each and every game with Kyle Yates. But first, as we always do, let's talk to Dr. David Chow and get the latest on all the injury updates around football. You can find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc and, of course, his great site, ProFootballDoc.com. Dr. Chow, thanks for making the time today.
Always. This is one of my favorite discussions all week.
Me too. All right. Well, let's start with last night's game. That's Calvin Ridley. He left with, I've heard foot, I've heard ankle. I don't know exactly what the nature of the injury is. Do you have any sense of what it is and how long it might keep him out?
Well, as you know, and maybe to let your listeners know, the only source I have are my eyes and my brain and my experience. And so I don't go by reports. It looked to me like a foot issue. The Falcons reported it as an ankle issue and questionable, but in game in the halftime Periscope chat stuff that I do, I said it's a foot issue and unlikely to return. And I think it was fortunate because it was wet. He kind of got his left foot out just in time for a more severe midfoot sprain, which would be a Lisfranc injury. So this morning, I believe Ian Rappaport and others have confirmed that it's foot, not ankle. X-rays are negative, which is good, and didn't expect a fracture. But I think he's going to miss some time. The question is how much. You know, will he? I don't think he's going to play next week, even though he's got the 10 days. The question is, can he avoid a three-week IR? And I hope so. But that's kind of where we are with Calvin Ridley.
If there is one bright side, it's that after next week, they do have a bye in week 10, so hopefully week 11 against the Saints, he'll be able to recover there. Let's talk about Joe Mixon, who missed practice all week. I don't know if he's technically officially been declared out as we record this, but he's not going to play this week. Do we know anything exactly about what this injury is? They have a bye next week. I mean, can we expect him back after that? Do you know, have any insight on this?
I think that's a good chance that he'll be back after the bye. But, you know, let's be fair, Dan. I didn't think he would miss time because he finished the game. And what limited video we saw, we didn't see a whole lot. We saw him do a touchdown dance after he scored on that play. He returned to that game. And we've seen him walking without a boot, no crutches, and even dancing on the sideline of practices. So I thought even last week he would play, and he didn't. So I was wrong on that. But it really got me concerned, and we talked about it on the website. You know, there's something called coach speak, right? And, you know, day-to-day becomes week-to-week. Well, they called him week-to-week last week, and that raised my eyebrows a little bit into thinking that he might not go this week. And with the bye next week, it makes sense that he will wait. I think he's going to be a three straight DNPs, really six straight DNPs since he was hurt. And so, yeah, there's no way he's going to play this Sunday. I think they're going to take the bye week, and then I think he's going to have a good chance to return by that time.
All right. How about Chris Carson? He's reportedly, at this point, a game-time decision with his foot injury. But he also has been deemed week to week, which makes you think it's longer. There have been times in the past where we have thought Chris Carson would be out, and then he miraculously plays. So what do we think about his injury? And do we think, even if he is going to play this week, and if not, how long he might be out?
Well, I always get a chuckle out of the game time decision designation. First of all, you know this, Dan. There's nothing official that's a game time decision, right? It's either questionable, doubtful, or out, or nothing. That's all there is. And I love how reporters then say, this is a true game time decision as opposed to a false game time decision, right? And and I remember talking about this with Mark Dominic on Sirius once. And I said, Mark, in your time as GM of the Buccaneers, how often was it really a game time decision where you guys didn't know versus you knew and you're just trying to confirm before the game? And he said, basically, almost never. And that's been my experience having been in the NFL as well. So game time decision is what's distributed. Game time decision means we kind of already know, but we're not telling you. And, you know, I don't think Chris Carson's going to play. Right. Based on the video is very limited. It happened on that interception where Buda Baker got chased down. The camera wasn't focused in on it. I think he pulls up on the route and that leads to the interception. But with the foot injury and what he's got, remember, I'm the guy that was really optimistic that Chris Carson would play after the Gator roll. And he did. And I am pessimistic that he will play this week. I don't think it's a long absence. It's not an IR situation. I think what Pete Carroll is saying, if I could be his translator, you know, the bubble thoughts, you know, that cartoons have, he's saying game time decision. What he's saying is, I really hope he plays, but I don't think he is, but I'm not going to rule him out yet, is what he's probably telling everybody.
Well, lots of injury concerns over there with the Seahawks and their running backs. Let's go to Aaron Jones here. As we record this, he has not been ruled out. He may be by the time you're listening to this. He's got the calf. And again, this was something that I kind of sprung on you last week because it happened right as we started recording. It was in practice, so I don't think there's been any video of it. And you mentioned that the Packers have generally been conservative with injuries. They have a Thursday game the following week. So is this something, just reading the tea leaves, that you would expect Jones to miss this game?
I do expect him to miss this game. I think he's more likely than not to miss the game because of the chance of re-aggravation, et cetera. And quite honestly, you know, there's a reasonable chance he misses the Thursday game and then really comes back good to go at that point in time. I mean, the Packers are trying to go somewhere this year, right? And so the last thing they want to do is have a setback with Aaron Jones. That's the mindset of a lot of teams, but I think especially of the Packers. And by the way, whenever I talk about the Packers medical staff as being conservative, I say that as that's who they are. And if anything, I think it is potentially smart to do that, right? And I'm not being critical of them in any way, shape, or form. And return to play is only one part medical, but the sum of it is what the team wants to have happen as well. And that's been what the team has always said. So no, I don't expect him. And that's why last week he was out, even though it's considered mild. I'm like, calf injuries linger, they can recur. I think they're going to play it safe and say no.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I certainly didn't hear you mention the conservative as a negative. If anything, last week you mentioned it as a positive, that they want to make sure that their players are ready to go, especially with long-term ambitions. Let's go to Arizona here and Kenyon Drake. They're on a bye this week, but he had a foot injury. He's expected to be out a few weeks. What do you know about this, and what do you think fantasy managers can expect?
I think I went back on this one and looked at the all 22. The real the regular film and game film didn't show it, but the all 22, if I remember correctly, showed a left high ankle sprain. And so even with the bye, I think it's a close call if he can return the following week. I would be a little bit leaning towards the pessimistic side, but it's still early, and let's see what happens.
All right, how about Jalen Reagor here? It sounds like he's going to be back. They activated him, and you know, he's got the 21-day practice window, but now he sounds like he's good to go. Is he just going to be at full health, ready to go here after that thumb injury?
Bye. I think he's going to be fine. Bye, as in not bye week, but right. Bye, don't sell. I mean, he is going to be okay. Now, when it first happened, the initial reports indicated he'd be out 8 to 10 weeks or more. And I said under. I expected him back by 6 weeks. I think this is just shy of the 6-week mark. And here's why. First of all, this is a similar injury to Drew Brees last year, who came back at 6 weeks. Now, admittedly, gripping and throwing a ball might be easier than catching a ball. But let me tell you, that snap comes back hard and quick. I mean, that's like it's a handoff from the center, but it's like a catching a ball. And so if Drew Brees could take snaps at 6 weeks, Jalen Reagor can catch balls. And the other thing that leads me to optimism is I saw a video of him catching punts his first day back. Now, the punt's coming down. I don't know if you've ever caught a punt, Dan, or whatever. That's coming in at high speed because yeah. It's dropping a long way. And if you're catching punts, your thumb's fine. And obviously, that's a huge ball security issue play. So if they had issues of ball security, they wouldn't be putting them back there. And the other thing is, as a wide receiver, he's been able to work out with his legs the whole time. So he's not going to pull up with a hamstring or be out of shape, not acclimated. So I think he's full go this week, and I've been optimistic to that way all along.
Are you optimistic on the guy who we've talked about pretty much each and every week? And that's Michael Thomas here. He's, you know, coming back from the ankle injury. Then he suffers the hamstring injury in practice. He did return to practice in some capacity on Thursday. I haven't seen yet today's practice reports. What do you think here on Michael Thomas?
Well, yeah, it made big news when it said he's returning to practice, and I think it came from Schefter. But it turned out, like I thought, limited practice, not full practice. And today, he's probably going to log a limited practice. I doubt it's going to be full. I think he's going to a limited practice questionable. I am still pessimistic on Michael Thomas. I mean, you know, one of the things you get used to is how teams do injury reports, and we sort of track that, right? And I just smell like that he's not going to play. I mean, I remember being asked by other people who's more likely to play. I think it was on Sirius and you know, Michael Thomas or Aaron Jones. And I said, neither. I think I surprised the host and neither did play. And last week I was saying Michael Thomas's injury could easily leak into this week. And I think it has and it will. So, and at the beginning of the week at the website, I said, at profootballdoc.com, I said, be prepared. The Saints are probably again going to be without their two top wide receivers in Michael Thomas. He's still iffy, not for sure, but I thought he would be out. And for sure was going to miss Emmanuel Sanders again. And he admitted that on a podcast midweek that he was going to be out for 2 weeks. And that's just part of the COVID protocol since he tested positive. So no number one and number two wide receiver again for the Saints this week is Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna have to find somebody to throw the ball to here against the Bears. Let's finish up here with a guy who's not relevant for this week because they're on a bye, but that's Gardner Minshew. You know, there was all this talk about him being benched, and then all of a sudden you hear now that he's been battling some sort of injury with his hand. People heard, you know, there are fractures, there are ligaments. So what do you think Minshew's chances are of playing through this now after the bye and going forward?
Well, Minshew's obviously a gamer, right? And so he played through the thumb injury. But clearly, I don't care how much of a gamer you are and how tough you are, you cannot grip and throw a football if you have an unstable thumb fracture, right? I mean, you may not grip it as well. You may not throw it as well. Maybe that had something to do with his poor play. I'm not saying it didn't. But I think this is a non-issue. This is a fracture that I think reportedly happened somewhere around October 11th. By the time he comes back after the bye, it'll be well into November. If he was able to play through it before, he still will. If he gets benched, it will be as much or more a coaching decision than medical decision, with a splint brace or whatever, and 4 weeks after a fracture. I don't really have any concerns about Gardner Minshew physically not making the bell when he comes back from the bye.
Well, as always, Dr. Chow, I can't appreciate your insight any more than I do. It's great to hear, and it really helps fantasy managers out. Remind everybody once again where they can find more of you and your work.
Well, especially this week, go to profootballdoc.com. It is absolutely free. Here's for your fantasy guys. If you're trying, look, there's a lot of bye weeks, right, this week. If you're trying to decide on who to pick up or which running back to play, why don't you check out the health of the other team's front seven? And you can easily do that on Pro Football Doc. Or if you're deciding between two wide receivers, look at the secondary of the opposing team or the pass rushers. And Field View and Injury Index is your quickest and easiest way to do that. Obviously, if you have an opinion, go play that guy. But if it's a toss-up, maybe throw that into the equation.
Yeah, Absolutely. Again, I've mentioned it before, but I'm on ProFootballDoc.com all the time. It really helps you figure out both not only how it looks for your own players, but again, when you break down the matchups, how it looks with the players they're going against. All right, we will be back in a minute with Dan and Colin, the morning breaking and down every single game from this weekend. All right, guys, let's bring in Kyle here for Dan and Kyle in the morning. What's up, Yates? How are you?
I'm good. I am riding the struggle bus a little bit this morning. I was talking to you that it took a little bit here for the coffee to kick in, but I think that it just kicked in probably about like 5 minutes ago. So the timing works out. I think I'm good to go.
Well, it's snowing here and I've got skylights in my office and it's just white and it's just, I'm miserable. So you're just, are you ready to carry the entire show?
I'll talk the entire
time. I'm kind of checking out at this point. All right, so we're going to get into it. We're going to cover every game from a fantasy perspective, of course. But before we do, it is October 30th in the morning as we record this. Tomorrow, October 31st, Halloween. That is when our monster giveaway ends at 11:59 p.m. So you still have some time to enter it. Again, it's a big one. A signed Aaron Jones black and gold Packers helmet, a $200 gift card to Pristine Auction. You can basically buy yourself another helmet if you want. A $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and your last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a 1 month subscription to Fubo TV. You can enter in one of three ways. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Pros. You can follow us on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Any one of those three is an entry. All three of those things are an entry. You can enter the contest up to three times. Once you do any of those, go to fantasypros.com/contest, and that's how you enter. That's it. You've got 1 day left. Go do it. All right, Yates, as we always do, let's start with the accuracy challenge. A reminder, fantasypros.com/challenge, completely free to play. 10 fantasy point over-unders for different players. It is sponsored by BetMGM. Grand prize for the free contest, 3 day, 2 night stay at an MGM resort property in Las Vegas, includes round trip airfare. Are you ready, Kyle Yates?
You've called me Kyle so many times today.
I know, it's very weird, but I can't stop now. It's one of those things where I'm just like, I don't know what to do. It just keeps coming. Are you ready, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Daniel. That feels horrible. Are you ready, Yates? You're good?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right,
let's go.
Let's start with Joe Burrow against Tennessee. 18.7 fantasy points over or under?
I'm taking the over here.
As am I. How about Justin Herbert against Denver, 18.7 fantasy points? Exactly the same mark as Burrow. What do you got?
I mean, at this point, continue to take the over with Herbert. I have Herbert as a top six quarterback this week.
Yeah, I don't have him quite that high, but I do have him over 18.7 fantasy points. How about Derrick Henry against Cincinnati, 19.8 fantasy points?
That's a very, very high line for someone who does not catch passes out of the backfield, but I'm smashing the over here.
You are, absolutely, as am I. How about DeAndre Swift here against Indianapolis? Not the best matchup. Darius Leonard back, 11.2 fantasy points.
He's going to have to do it on the back of his work in the receiving game. I don't know if I want to trust him in this matchup, so I'll take the under here.
I will not trust him in this matchup, but I will still go over because I do think he gets enough in the receiving game to barely squeak by. How about Josh Jacobs against Cleveland? 15 fantasy points even.
Yeah, I'll take the over here.
I have under, which I feel like I need to revisit my projections a little bit. I feel like he's going to have a big game. But anyway, I do have under. It's 14.8. Not crazy under, but still. DK Metcalf against San Francisco, 13.8 fantasy points.
I'll take the over here.
That's what I. Amari Cooper against Philadelphia, 11.9 fantasy points.
Who's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
My guess is Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, under.
Yeah, that's where I'm going as well. Travis Fulgham against Dallas. Does it matter what the line is on this one? 11.5.
I was just about to say, who are they playing?
They're playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Smash the over.
I agree with that one. Adam Thielen, Green Bay, 13.6 fantasy points.
I'll take the over here as well.
I'm going over. A little worried about the wind, but I'll still go over. And finally, Noah Fant against the Chargers, 8.4 fantasy points.
I'm not super confident in Noah Fant this week, but I do think that he hits that over. I think if it was like a 10, you know, if that line was like a 10.5 or something like that, that would be where I'd go. I'll take the under there, but an 8.4, I think he just squeaks by.
If Tim Patrick plays, I am going to go under. If he doesn't, I will go over on that one. All right, let's get into the games here. Again, as you guys know by now, it's Friday morning, so we do not have the Friday practice reports. If anything breaks while we are recording, I will incorporate it. I will try to give everyone some caveats of if X player plays, what do you do? If not, this. But understand that as of right now, we do not know the Friday practice reports or the injury designations, so I will try to be careful there. But let us start with last night's game. Kind of a snoozer here, unfortunately, in a game that everybody thought would have big fantasy points. Falcons 25, Panthers 17. The big news from this game, of course, is that Calvin Ridley leaves early with an injury here. Yates, are you okay? I know Calvin Ridley is your guy. It's like first Jonnu kind of gets a little messed up with the injury. Calvin Ridley, do we know anything? As of right now, we don't know anything major about this injury, right?
We saw a report that came out earlier this morning saying that the x-rays came back negative. It looks like he avoided a major injury, but of course we'll continue to monitor that and update as more news comes out. The fact that they played on Thursday night and they have a bit of a gap here before their next game is good news, though. I think that he could be back for the next game. It was funny, though. I put out on Twitter when that happened. I was like, no, not Ridley. Take me instead. And several people were in my mentions saying, yeah, take Yates instead.
Yeah. Absolutely. If we could do that swap, fantasy football gods, let's do that. The one thing I will point out with Ridley is that even though they do have this mini bye because it was a Thursday game, they have a bye in week 10. So it is something where they could, depending on what the injury is, hold him out for 1 week. But again, there's nothing you can do about that right now. We'll have to see about that. I think where is Todd Gurley might have been trending in the first half of that game. You and I were even talking. I was like, Yates, did I miss it? Did he get injured? You're like, I don't think so. I didn't see it. He does get work in the second half, though. 18 for 46 on the ground, zero targets. But like he always does, he finds the end zone. I believe it was his eighth rushing touchdown of the year. Meanwhile, you watch that game, though, when Gurley was in there, Brian Hill looked better. 11 for 55, 2 for 9 through the air. We had talked about Todd Gurley a little bit as somebody with this schedule over the last several weeks, which is Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit, then Carolina again, as somebody to sell high. I mean, after this game, are you doing whatever you can to sell high on Todd Gurley, or are you willing to hold him?
No, I'm selling high, if I can. You know, so over the past three games, Todd Gurley has averaged 2.55 yards per carry. It has not been great in some fantastic matchups for running backs. So I think that you're now seeing Atlanta start to manage his reps here with that knee issue. I think that it's coming back. He has just not looked the same. He doesn't look explosive. He doesn't look like, you know, he's getting the work because he's in this dynamic offense and he's got scoring opportunities. But I think we really need to be concerned about Brian Hill eventually taking over this backfield. So I think if you are in a deep league and you have the space, I would be adding Brian Hill to the bottom of your bench just in case.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, I think they're sticking. First of all, they could have, you know, won every game since Raheem Morris has taken over as the quarterback, as the coach, pardon me. But Todd Gurley, I don't know, man. You watch him, it looks gross. It really does. And now that he's got this schedule, he's past kind of the meaty part of his schedule. He's got Denver next, then a bye, then New Orleans, then Las Vegas, then New Orleans again, then the Chargers, then the Bucks. It's just not a pretty schedule for a guy who does not look particularly spry when he's out there. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan rushes for a touchdown. Julio Jones, 10 targets, 7 catches, 137 yards. I mean, when that game started and I said, oh, this is going to be like a 200-yard game for Julio Jones.
I was terrified because I had Julio Jones up at 2 in my wide receiver rankings, and I was like, right, I really don't know how I feel about that. So I moved him down to like 8, you know, like I didn't move him down a ton. But then and the first few plays of that game, I was like, crap, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, God. Yeah, you did really. Immediately, you were like, wow, this is it. I mean, Jones is just great. He just gets, you know, he's always battling through. You know, he gets hit so hard. He takes such a beating that he's always, I mean, early on, you know, he asked out of the game on the red zone after he took like several big hits in a row. But anyway, he's a stud. You know, he's a stud. Doesn't matter who else is in there. Hayden Hurst, 4 targets, 3 catches, 42 yards. I mean, anything? I don't really have any takeaways from the Atlanta. I mean, it was a windy, rainy day. I don't really have any other takeaways from the Atlanta passing game. I don't know if you do.
No, not from the Atlanta passing game. I think we still, I mean, for them, for the Carolina Panthers defense to shut down this offense, yeah, we can talk about the weather, but I mean, we really need to be talking about the Panthers defense as one of the like better pass defenses in the NFL now.
One of the better ones then. So you're is this a matchup that you're going to fade? Because for me, I agree that they have been surprising to me as to overall just how decent the defense has been. But for me, you know, the Falcons outdoors, and again, it was pretty gross out there. I wasn't really willing to take anything away. But is this a defense that you're gonna fade some opposing? I mean, they get the Chiefs next. And then the Bucs. Yeah, so well, yeah. I assume that you're not going to be fading those passing offenses. But generally speaking, you think in a neutral matchup.
I think
it's more so
just like putting respect on their name. To be able to say, like, we have this perception of the Carolina Panthers defense that it's not a good unit or whatever. But we need to put some respect for what they're doing. We need to give them respect for what they're doing. So, yeah, a top 15 unit in the NFL. Not a top 5 or anything like that. But, yeah, they're performing well.
All right, no problems with that. For the Panthers, disappointing day really for everybody except Curtis Samuel, who finds the end zone twice, once rushing, once through the air. DJ Moore legitimately not involved whatsoever until pretty much the last drive, and then he is your leading receiver for the Panthers with 55 yards. Robbie Anderson, again, he does see the targets, 8 of them, just 5 catches, 48 yards. Teddy Bridgewater leaves briefly with a head neck injury. He does return. Poor game here. 176 yards passing and a touchdown and interception. He gets 30 on the ground. Again, just a bad game for the passing game. Is there anything that you want to read into this? Just bad weather and gross and move on? Or is there any takeaways from the passing game for the Panthers?
No, I think Curtis Samuel would be the one that I want to talk about as far as someone who... Yeah, we've always had this perception of Curtis Samuel that, like, I mean, even earlier on in the year, like, he was droppable. Like, just based on DJ Moore seeing more targets, Robbie Anderson being the clear target leader, I think this was just a disjointed game all around. And Curtis Samuel, they're getting him involved as a runner out of the backfield. They're starting to utilize him the way that he was at Ohio State and how he was successful. So if that's the case, then he needs to be in the conversation of a solid flex play every single week. But yeah, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to fade DJ Moore to a, you know, outside my top 36 wide receivers or bring up Curtis Samuel into my top 30 or anything like that. This is just a disjointed game, and we take it for what it is and we move on.
Yeah, it was just frustrating, really, when Moore wasn't getting any targets early on. What about the running game here? Mike Davis, 13 for 66 on the ground, just one catch for 11 yards. We've got all indications are that Christian McCaffrey is going to be back next week against the Chiefs. Do you expect Mike Davis to have a role at all going forward, or is it just going back to basically 100% of the touches in the backfield to McCaffrey?
I mean, he'll have a role, but it's not going to be fantasy relevant. You know, it's not going to be something where, I mean, maybe 5-6 touches a week. So, I mean, he might be a spark plug. He might be someone that can come in there to relieve Christian McCaffrey, but it's not going to be something where we're looking at Mike Davis. So,
if
you can find someone in your league who thinks that Mike Davis is going to have a role, then sell him for whatever you can get.
All right. And other than that, you're basically viewing him as we would the high-end handcuffs that we have for other running backs, right? Like a Chase Edmonds. And again, there's value in that for sure. He should be rostered, but you don't expect him to be startable essentially going forward.
Right. Don't drop Mike Davis.
I'm good with that. Let's get into the games for this weekend. Let's start with the Steelers visiting the Ravens. You may know by the time you listen about Mark Ingram's status. For right now, he has missed practice both days this week, I believe. I'm assuming that he's going to be out here. Let's assume for now that he's going to be out. Are you willing to start either J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards in the matchup against the Steelers?
I have J.K. Dobbins at RB23, and then I have Gus Edwards pretty far down in my rankings. So Edwards really isn't someone that I'm looking at and saying that you can, you know, rely on him. You can plug him into your lineup as a bye week fill-in option and just hope that he gets the work. But I mean, as far as a projection and logic, it would say that J.K. Dobbins is going to get the majority of the work. If you want to bet on the Ravens doing Ravens things and giving Gus Edwards all the touches, then, I mean, be my guest. I just can't, in good conscience, project that.
I'm not projecting. I have Dobbins higher, but I think they're both going to cannibalize a little bit. I have Dobbins right now 30th and Edwards 33rd. Now I'm gonna look at that on Saturday night. It's just more of something where, again, it's not a great matchup, but I think they'll both cut into each other's work. If Ingram does play, are you starting any of these running backs?
Nope. Stay far away.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well. We talked about Hollywood Brown a bit on the Start Sit show. More like a borderline wide receiver 2 for me and Tags. I think you were a little bit lower, right? So where do you have Hollywood Brown coming into this?
Yeah, I was lower on Wednesday. I did move him up, so I've got him at 26 right now.
Okay, that's exactly where I have him. So I think that that's a good spot. Again, we've seen receivers have fantasy production against the Steelers, so it's not exactly a match that you want to avoid. And I also think that we've got, you know, the Ravens coming off a bye. I always trust Harbaugh coming off a bye. I think they'll be good. I think they'll find ways to get Hollywood Brown involved here. So like you, borderline wide receiver too. And of course, you're starting Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. How about for the Steelers here? Start or sit Deontay Johnson?
I'm starting him. He missed practice on Wednesday, but then returned and practiced in full on Thursday, if memory serves correctly. So I think that you can fire him up as a mid-range wide receiver too, just based on target volume. Terrible matchup, not going to deny that. So I don't think he has much of a ceiling. But based on what we saw last week, you got to plug him into your starting lineup.
Start or sit Juju Smith-Schuster?
I have Juju at wide receiver 36 on the week. So he's not someone who I'm saying, yeah, you have to start him based on the other options that you have on your roster. But I still think that you can start him.
Start or sit Chase Claypool?
Sit him if you can.
Yeah, we talked about him in ECR, about how high he was and how surprising it was. Right now I'm okay with starting any of these guys as essentially wide receiver threes. Claypool's tough. Tags talked about it on Wednesday. He does have the upside. He just gets behind the defense one time and you're going to have it there. I'm not reading too much into, his lack of production this last game against the Titans. As I said, I think they didn't really know what the Steelers were going to do in this game and how they were going to approach it with all three. And I think they had extra attention. You had Butler on Chase Claypool. So I do expect Claypool to get more involved. But again, it's a difficult matchup. So for now, they're all kind of in the wide receiver three range for me. If you have them, I'm fine to start them, but I am not jonesing to do so. James Conner, it's a tough matchup here. So where do you have James Conner ranked?
Yeah, you got to start Conner just based on his workload. I don't think that he has much of a ceiling in this one, but based on the running back landscape, he lands at RB12 in my rankings.
Okay, let me throw a couple other guys out there. Would you rather start half PPR Conner or Miles Gaskin?
I'll start Miles Gaskin. I have him as a top 10 option this week.
Conner or Gio Bernard, assuming that Joe Mixon is out?
They are back-to-back in my rankings. I have Conner at 12 and Bernard at 13. If you want to play the matchup game, then go with Bernard.
How about Conner finally or Boston Scott, assuming that Miles Sanders is out?
I haven't projected right now officially Miles Sanders to be out, but I'm assuming that once I do that, Boston Scott is going to shoot up to probably just ahead of James Conner. So I think I'll play Boston Scott there.
Yeah, right now I have Conner at 15. So this is a time where, that's an obvious start, but it is somebody who you can get away from if you need to at this point. So it's close, but again, 15, somebody who you're starting most time. But again, I do have Gaskin right now ahead of him. I do have Gio ahead of him, and I do have Scott ahead of him. So that's where I'm coming out on this one. And you're sitting Big Ben in this matchup, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the Colts visiting the Lions. Jonathan Taylor, strong RB1 for you?
Oh, yeah. I've got him at RB7 on the week right now, and yeah, that could even go higher.
Yeah, I am there as well. Are you starting anyone else on the Colts?
Trey Burton. I have Trey Burton as a top 12 tight end. I'm not super excited about it, but I think you can get away with starting him.
Yeah, I have him right now, I believe, at 16th. That's, though, again, I say it every week, that,
right, the difference.
Right, 10 and 18, it's very minimal difference. So you could get away with it. Lions aren't terrible against tight ends or anything like that. No wide receiver for you, right? If you have to start a wide receiver, you have to. I'm forcing you to. You're in a Colts-only league. What wide receiver are you starting for the Colts?
Oh, that sounds like a terrible league. Zach Pascal would be the guy that I would roll with.
Okay, you know who I'm rolling with. It's T.Y. Hilton ensemble. Michael Pittman Jr. may return here, by the way. I mean, they did target week 8, so you don't want to start him, but he is somebody to keep your eye on in case he has a big game. And again, I think Tags, you might have thrown him out on the DFS show, but Marcus Johnson, somebody also to keep your eye on. How about the Lions? Give me your ranking for DeAndre Swift, please.
I have DeAndre Swift at 18 this week, so I still think you can start him. Very, very tough matchup. He hasn't looked particularly great on the ground, only averaged 3 yards per carry last week. Now gets a very, very tough matchup here against the Indianapolis Colts. The thing that's going to save him is his goal line work and his work in the receiving game. So that's why I've got him at 18. And again, based on your other options, I think you have to start him. But he's someone who's a little bit further down in my rankings than maybe ECR.
Would you rather start DeAndre Swift or Melvin Gordon against the Chargers with Philip Lindsay likely out?
I will start Melvin Gordon in that situation. I think he gets volume.
How about David Montgomery against New Orleans or Swift?
I'm going to go Montgomery.
Yeah, that's the range for me where they're all in. So it's fine. Swift gets his production because he'll be so involved in the passing game, but it is a tough matchup. And again, the Colts are off a bye, so they are getting healthy. How about Kenny Galladay, though? Are you okay? I mean, borderline wide receiver one. He's 13th for me. I don't know where he slots in for you.
He's 11th for me. So okay. Yeah, right in that same range.
How about TJ Hockenson? You willing to roll with him? Is he in the circle of trust at this point for tight ends? And that's a loose term, by the way, for a tight end, right? Circle of trust is like, I don't really want to start you, but I will.
The circle of trust is anywhere from tight end 4 to 16. No, I think with TJ Hockenson, I have him actually at 14 in my rankings this week. So this is a very, very tough matchup on paper for the for opposing tight ends. The Colts are just, I think it's 2.3 fantasy points per game average allowed to opposing tight ends. So, man, I'm not super excited about Matthew Stafford. I'm not super excited about TJ Hockenson, the passing game in this one. This is a very good Colts defense. So if I can avoid playing TJ Hockenson, then I will. Like, I would personally play Richard Rodgers over TJ Hockenson this week.
So that's a name that I was going to ask you about. I do have Hockenson ahead of Rodgers, but that's not crazy to me. I think Rodgers is a good start this week for sure. I do have Hockenson ahead because I think he has moved into the quote unquote circle of trust for me in that he's probably a guy who's going to rank inside my top 12 at this point every week, even though I'm not particularly excited to start him.
I'll just say this too. With like TJ Hockenson, like if you have TJ Hockenson and no other tight ends on your roster, don't drop TJ Hockenson to go pick up Richard Rodgers, right? Like if that's your only choice, then just play TJ Hockenson. Stay with who you've got. But if you have the space to be able to add someone else or you have another tight end on your roster, that would be a situation where I'd probably play the other guy.
I think that's the definition of circle of trust for me, that I wouldn't drop him to pick up somebody to stream. So that's where Hockenson is. And again, you mentioned Stafford. I have Stafford 16th, I believe. I don't know where you have him this week.
It's around that same range.
Yeah, not a start if you can avoid it. But if
actually,
you have
I've got him down at 22.
I was actually a little surprised when you said that you had him 16 because that feels a little aggressive to me, even as I'm looking at it right now. Again, as I've mentioned, Saturday night, I go through, I spend hours kind of updating my projections. When I look at 16 in this matchup, I'm like, yeah, that feels gross. But yeah, he's not somebody you want to start if you can get away. All right, before we get to the next game, let's talk about how I stopped eating breakfast when I was 7. My sister, who was older and I kind of idolized her, never ate breakfast. And so I wanted to be like her. I wanted to be cool. So I stopped. But then when you have kids, it gets a little different. Because they're all like, I don't need to eat breakfast. Dad doesn't eat breakfast. And then you get in trouble with your spouse. So I reluctantly started eating what is, of course, the most important meal of the day. And now I'm just pissed because I've missed out on breakfast for the last 30 years. I start every day now with Magic Spoon cereal. And I'm like, this is why you're supposed to eat breakfast. 4 flavors, blueberry, fruity, frosted, and cocoa. Full disclosure, I rarely get the cocoa. My daughter has completely commandeered it, which is fine. I've talked about Magic Spoon cereal a couple times on the show already. I oversee the news desk. That's actually how I started at Fantasy Pros. I oversee the news desk. Our guys are great, working hard all the time. Legitimately, like 6 of them reached out after my first read for Magic Spoon cereal, and they were like, oh my God, I love it. This is what I eat. This is what my kids eat. It's really good, and it not only tastes great, which is what you're really looking for, of course, with a breakfast, but it's healthy. No sugar, 11 grams of protein, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving, GMO-free, gluten-free, keto-friendly. For finding something, for me, that tastes great, that's healthy, especially when you have kids that you know they're going to eat, that is a rarity. It's also 100% guaranteed. If you don't like it for any reason, they're going to refund your money. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Grab a variety pack, use our code FantasyPros, you'll get free shipping. Again, that's magicspoon.com/FantasyPros. Use the code FantasyPros for free shipping. All right, let's get to our next game here, and it's Raiders visiting Cleveland. There's supposed to be some winds here, by the way. There are some weather concerns in a lot of these games. You're going to want to pay close attention to it. Usually weather does not make that much of a difference. Wind can make a difference, especially in the passing game. But let's start with the Raiders here. Josh Jacobs, you know, you expect a bounce back game for him this week after last week's dud against the Bucks, right?
Big time. I've got him at 6 in my rankings.
Josh Jacobs or Ezekiel Elliott this week?
Josh Jacobs, and it's not even close.
Ooh, I love it. We'll get to Ezekiel Elliott. Don't you worry. Start or sit any Las Vegas wide receiver?
You can get away starting Nelson Aguilar. as a low-end wide receiver three, you know, flex option. So I think you can plug him in. He's been on fire recently, and assuming that Bryan Edwards is still out for this game, then yeah, you can fire up Aguilar. Otherwise, I mean, Ruggs is just a flex option, that a boom or bust, you know, that you can plug him into your lineup if you are projected to lose by a ton and hope that he hits a big play. But otherwise, he's just not seeing enough targets.
I've actually got them back to back in my rankings, 39 and 40, with Aguilar ahead. I think you can get away with both as a flex. I think this game might favor Ruggs a little bit, just because, again, if there is really bad wind, as there is projected to be, I think hopefully the Raiders might see that and start using Ruggs a little bit more as the way that I thought they would use him coming into the season, which is these short area passes and letting him take it to the house. So I think that might favor Ruggs a bit. But again, I think you can get away with either one of these guys as a flex play, but they both fall slightly outside of wide receiver three range for me. Darren Waller, a top four option, and Derek Carr, maybe a streamer in this game.
Yeah, I've got Derek Carr at 14 this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's somebody you can get away with. I believe I have him right now at 13th. So we're right in that same range. And again, the wind, this is one of the few games, you know, there's three, I think, this week that are, or could be really impacted by it. So stay abreast of the weather reports, and I will definitely update my rankings on Saturday night. For Cleveland, let me ask you something. Would you rather start in half PPR leagues Kareem Hunt or Alvin Kamara?
Kamara.
I have Kareem Hunt higher than Alvin Kamara, which is why I asked that question. I have Kareem Hunt as my number two running back this week. Where do you have Kareem Hunt?
I have Kareem Hunt at 3 and Kamara at 2.
Fine. Okay. Because when you first said that, it was like, you were like, why are you asking me that, Dan? Are you insane? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be insane. Yeah, Kamara, of course you're starting, but at Chicago, I will roll with Hunt in this matchup, who I think is going to smash. Starter sit, Jarvis Landry.
Start him.
Yep. I have him as 25, so like a borderline wide receiver 2 at this point.
That's right where I've got him too.
Yeah, Beckham Jr. out. Would you rather start Landry or Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson for me. I have Johnson at 18. I have Landry at 27.
Okay. I have Johnson one spot higher. Do you start or sit Rashard Higgins?
I think you start him. I've got him at 32 in my rankings this week. I know that I'm way above ECR, but I've always been a fan of
Higgins. Where is ECR? Where does ECR have?
Last time I checked, he was like in like the 40s. He may have moved up, but so with Higgins, I've always been a fan of his talent. I think that he has just been kind of set to the side by terrible coaching with Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens. So now that he actually has an opportunity here, I think he can contribute, and it's the matchup too. If this was a tougher matchup, then that would be one that I'd say, hey, you know, don't start Higgins. But against the Las Vegas corners right now, I mean, fire him up.
Yeah, I've got him 34th. That is higher than ECR, but ECR has moved up. I think when we talked about it Wednesday, it was 42. It's now 37. You're still higher than ECR, but and as am I. But yeah, he has at least moved up. Would you rather start Rashard Higgins or Scotty Miller?
I have them back to back in my rankings. I have Higgins at 32 and Miller at 33.
Darn right you do. By the way, you know, Yates and I both write articles with our rankings. We also have a Who Should I Start tool where you can literally, in those things, put in player A versus player B, and it will tell you who we would recommend, including across positions. So make sure to check that out on our Twitter feeds, Kyle YNFL, Dan Harris 80. How about Harrison Bryant here with, I'm sure, Austin Hooper going to be out for this week?
Yeah, he's a streaming tight end. I think you can pick him up if you're desperate and plug him into your lineup. He's barely rostered in Yahoo leagues. I was looking at that earlier this week. So I have Harrison Bryant at 16. So I think you can get away with plugging him into your lineup. But he's not someone that I'm sitting there, you know, pounding the table going like, hey, start him.
I feel exactly the same way. I have him at 17. Not, again, close projections, but not a guy who I would, you know, lean towards starting in a typical league. But if everybody's kind of hoarding tight ends, and if you absolutely want to get away with it, you really can at 17. How about Baker Mayfield? Is he a streamer for you this week?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in that conversation as a high-end QB2.
Yeah. Ditto for me, but I am going to, again, really want to watch the weather reports here. Let's go to the Jets visiting the Chiefs. Let's make it pretty easy game. Patrick Mahomes, the top two quarterback, Yates?
No.
What? Where is he?
I have him at 5 right now. And wow. The reason I know that I'm lower than ECR, and it's looking at the matchup, you would easily say, like, hey, fire up Patrick Mahomes. Like, what are we doing? But yet, 19.5 point favorites. The Chiefs are favorite over the Jets. That, you know what that screams? Running game.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So like, and we saw that last week. We saw Patrick Mahomes just not, they didn't even need him. So I think he doesn't have a ceiling. And for some of these guys who are going to be engaged in shootouts, that they have the chance to finish much, much higher than Patrick Mahomes. So you still start Mahomes, right? I'm not sitting here saying, hey, sit Mahomes. I'm at five. But to rank him at number one or number two, which is where consensus is saying that this is going to be a shootout and Patrick Mahomes is going to score four passing touchdowns. Certainly in the realm of possibilities, but you know, he could only throw the ball 24 times.
No, it's a great point, actually, because the Chiefs will sit on the run game when they're ahead. It's more for me when I look at the other options. You know, I like Rodgers, of course, but again, that is a win game. I can't bring myself to start Carson Wentz over Patrick Mahomes. I can't, you know, Josh Allen hasn't played that well. Lamar Jackson is a tough matchup against Pittsburgh. So for me, I'm still keeping him up there, but we are arguing over nothing because it's a top five option. And so I assume then, of course, you like Edwards-Helaire in this matchup. Then,
yeah, I do. Yep. I have him as a top 10 option. I have CEH at 8, and then I have Le'Veon Bell at 22.
Yeah, let's start talking about that quickly because you're starting Tyreek Hill and you're starting Travis Kelce, of course. So you are starting Bell in this matchup then?
Yes, as a low end running back too. I would personally start Le'Veon Bell over J.K. Dobbins.
Okay. I mean, I would too, but I have Dobbins lower than that. I have Bell at 26. So we both have him as starts this week. I mean, I don't know what the prop bet is going to be on Le'Veon Bell scoring a touchdown, but right. I would take it if you can get plus money on it, because I think they are going to give him work in this game, as you said, because it is going to be, you assume, a very positive
revenge game.
Never doubt the revenge game. Any interest in Mecole Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson or not?
Not in this matchup. You're starting them as boomer bust options if you are.
For the Jets, you're starting Jameson Crowder if he plays, I assume?
Yeah, I don't think he plays, though.
No, I don't. He's returned to practice. I don't really know. But regardless, if he does not play, do you start any Jets receiver?
Braxton Berrios as a low-end flex option if Crowder sits, because he's going to assume that slot role, but as nothing more than that in a full PPR format.
Yeah, I'd keep my eye on Mims. I wouldn't start him, but I'd keep my eye on him at least. How about LaMichael Pirine here? You and I both talked about that we were a little higher than ECR on him on the Wednesday show. Are you willing to start him as a flex play here?
So it's so frustrating because I look at my, you know, again, we talked about this so many times. Like, I look at the guys that we talk about LaMichael Pirine. I'm like, no, don't start LaMichael Pirine. Dan, I have him at 25 this week in my rankings.
Oh, boy.
You know, like, it's just based on the projected game script that you assume that, you know, New York is going to have to be throwing the ball. Well, that favors LaMichael Pirine out of the backfield. If you have Jamison Crowder missing this game, which I'm projecting right now, that can certainly adjust, but that gives him a significant target. Bump. So it's like, where are the targets going to go? And it's going to be LaMichael Pirine, who is now seeing more and more work in this offense. So again, I'm not super excited to start LaMichael Pirine, but my rankings say to start him.
I'm as a flex play, but we really need to have the Fantasy Bros guys create shirts for us in the Fantasy Bros store. Something like, I'm sorry I ranked him there, or I hate my rankings, or something like that. Because I agree, man. I never feel comfortable with these guys, but especially a running back, it's just a dangerous landscape. Right now, I have Pirine at 34, but I am right now assuming that Crowder plays. So I probably will adjust him up, assuming that he's out. Let's go to the Titans visiting the Bengals. Of course, Derrick Henry is a smash start. AJ Brown, top five receiver this week.
Yeah, I have him in that range. Okay. Let me double check my rankings. I have AJ Brown at, I have him at 4.
Yep. And Ryan Tannehill is the start, and back to the Jonnu Smith well here, right?
Oh yeah. If this is a get right game for Jonnu Smith, I don't know what it is. So I've got him at 6 right now. I think he can finish much higher than that.
Yep. I've got him at 5. And I think the only question mark is Corey Davis. I mentioned him on the Start Sit show that I was a little higher than ECR. How do you feel about firing him up this week?
Yeah, I've got him at 40, so I think you can fire him up as a flex option with upside.
Okay. Yeah, he's at 34 in ECR. That's moved up a little bit. Right now, I'm at 29. My guess is he'll end up in the low 30s. But yeah, I think you can get away with starting
him. Would you rather start Sterling Shepard or Corey Davis?
Man, I think that was one of the guys who I had listed for us. Let me just check. This is what you do. I'm pretty sure I have Corey Davis ahead, but this is great podcasting. I do. I have Corey Davis ahead. Right now, I have Sterling Shepard at 37 and Corey Davis at 29. So I have a kind of a decent gap there. I think it's a good game. I mean, Davis is getting the targets. He's not always doing all that much with them, but he either gets the yardage or the touchdown. So, you know, I'm willing to roll him out there as a wide receiver 3. I'm a little less excited about Sterling Shepard. For the Bengals, all systems go here with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I've got Higgins at 22, and I have Tyler Boyd at 16, and then I'm sure you're going to ask, I've got AJ Green at 29.
Yeah, we are not far apart on any of these guys. I've got Higgins at 23, Boyd 21, and Green at 31. I mean, I think this is just going to be a game where you know that Titans' pass defense is not imposing. They're going to need points. Get any piece of it that you can. So I'm good there. We mentioned it briefly. I'm going to assume Joe Mixon's out. If Joe Mixon's not out, of course, you're starting him, but you are good to start Gio Bernard here if Mixon is out, right?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow, QB1 this week?
Yep, absolutely. At this point, you continue to plug in Joe Burrow into your starting lineup. I've got him at 10 this week.
Yep, completely agree. I have him at 11. All right, before we keep going, do you guys ever get these notifications from your phone? Like, your screen time was up 14% this week for a total of 9 hours and 46 minutes. First of all, whatever, phone. But second, I do get it. I spend a lot of time looking at my phone. We all do. And at our computers, and at our tablets, and at our Kindles. And you know what all those devices have in common? They are major sources of blue light. Eye strain, sleep issues, headaches, blurry vision, exposure to blue light can cause all of that. And they did with me, but only until I got glasses from Felix Gray and just no longer. There are other blue light glasses on the market, okay? None of them is like Felix Gray. The other ones, they just don't filter out enough blue light. Most of them, just 2 to 3% of blue light from screens. Felix Gray filters out 15 times more. And they have over 250,000 customers. 9 out of 10 report significant symptom relief from their Felix Grays. And their high-quality frame materials make them durable, super lightweight, and adjustable for fit. I love mine. I personally went with the Hopper style, but when you go on their website, you'll see they have a million styles to choose from. They come fully loaded for one low price, no upcharges or surprises, and your order is risk-free for 30 days. Shop for non-prescription optical lenses for daytime wear at $95 or prescription optical for $145. Just go to felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros to shop better blue light glasses. That's felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. If you are like me and you already wear prescription glasses, they are really a must. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges, felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. Patriots visiting the Bills. Julian Edelman is out for this game and likely to go on IR with his knee injury. Can you start any Patriots player in this game?
No. James White, maybe, but that's just like a desperation flex option. Otherwise, just stay far away.
Yeah, I think that's right. Maybe Damian Harris is a desperation flex option too, just because they'll probably just run nonstop. But yeah, this is gross, and I can't believe this is where we are with the Patriots. Again, yeah, you're out on Cam, right? For this week. Especially.
Yeah, for this week, I'm not recommending him as a start. I've been burned the past couple weeks. I've got him at 17 right now. So, and here's the thing too, the Patriots' only healthy starting receivers are Damir Bird, Jacoby Myers, and then Gunnar Olszewski, I think is how you pronounce his last name. Like, yeah, nope, stay far away.
It's not a good thing for the Bills. John Brown looks good to go here from everything I've seen this week. Are you starting him this week?
Yeah, as a low-end wide receiver 3. I think I've got him at 54 in my rankings right now, but that will move up as ECR continues to climb. I bake in ECR into my rankings process, so that will continue to move up. I think you can fire him up as a low-end wide receiver 3 flex option in this one.
Yeah, this is one I'm going to take a close look at. Right now, I believe I have him at 47, just because, but that's not, you know, I haven't gone through it crazy. I'm going to, once I get the final things again on Saturday, I will. For right now, 47, my guess is he will be closer to a wide receiver 3 when all is said and done. You're starting Stephon Diggs here, of course. If assuming Brown plays, are you starting Cole Beasley?
He moves down to a, you know, flex option that gives you a solid floor every single week in PPR leagues. But I don't think that he has the ceiling, you know, with John Brown back in the lineup. He would, you know, he would have to score for him to finish much higher than that. And certainly in the realm of possibilities. But as far as the likelihood of that happening and probabilities, I'll bake into it and say that he's a flex option.
Start any Bills running back?
Zach Moss as a bye week fill-in. I'm starting to come back around on Zach Moss. Devin Singletary is just on a free fall in my rankings here. So I've got Zach Moss at 28. I have Devin Singletary at 36.
Yeah, I still, for right now, have Singletary slightly ahead of Moss, but we talked about that Wednesday. This is one where I have a note to myself, like, take a close look at this situation, because I don't want to start either one of them, and I do feel like, when all is said and done, if I had to do one, it'd probably be Moss, but I don't really want to start either one of them. I think you can, potentially, as a flex. If you,
I mean, I just looked this up, so, I mean, Singletary, the last 3 weeks, RB finishes 43, 32, and 37. His fantasy points in each of those games, 3, 5, and 5.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross. So it's not a game that I really want to go near for him. But again, until I see the actual changing of the guard, I don't really want to go near Moss either. And you are fine to start Josh Allen here, right? You're good to go?
Yeah, I think that even if, I mean, with John Brown coming back and assumedly fully healthy, then absolutely fire him up, you know, as I have him as a top five option this week, because I think that not only John Brown helps, but you're also seeing with the running game struggle, you're starting to see Josh Allen run more. So I think that that just boosts his fantasy value.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he's still, you know, even when you're like, oh man, even against the Jets, he didn't have a touchdown, but he still produced from a fantasy perspective. So I agree. I'm at five as well. Rams visiting the Dolphins. How do you feel about Darrell Henderson in this matchup?
I really like Darrell Henderson. I've got him at 14 this week. I think that we talked about it, you know, with Malcolm Brown getting that touchdown. I think that that was on the back of Henderson leaving that game for a little bit. So I haven't had time to even go back and look at that. I said I was gonna do that on Monday. Anyway, so Henderson, I think that he has an extremely high ceiling. Akers, I mean, what in the world are you doing in Los Angeles that you drafted this dude in the second round and you're only giving him 1 to 2 snaps?
It's just game script, man. Just game script.
Right,
just
right. Getting into a rhythm. No, I think with Henderson, you got to just continue to plug him into your lineup as a, you know, solid RB2 based on his workload and how he's looking. And he comes with upside if he can find the end zone.
Yep, I've got him at 16. We're right there. And you're starting both Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods as wide receiver twos?
Yep, low-end wide receiver twos.
And you're not buying Josh Reynolds after last week, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Any interest in a Rams tight end? You know, Higbee if he plays, or Everett if Higbee doesn't play?
I said this on Wednesday's show that if both of them are playing, then you stay far away. If one of them is inactive, you know, Tyler Higbee or Gerald Everett, then you can fire up the other one as a low-end tight end one. But otherwise, yeah, just stay far away.
All right, for the Dolphins, I think you said you had Myles Gaskin as the top 10 option this week?
I do.
All right, so why? What do you think? They're going to lean into the run here with Tua?
Yep, lean into the run, try to take the ball out of, not take the ball out of Tua's hands, but, you know, lean into the run game, try to make life easy for this rookie quarterback in his first NFL game against a very, very good defense. So I think that Gaskin, and again, with his work out of the backfield as a receiver, I think that that only helps.
Okay, and so how about the receivers then? Do you want to start any Dolphins wide receiver? How about Devontae Parker?
You can start Parker as a low-end wide receiver too. Williams, I'm not willing to go that direction yet, just because we don't know what Tua is going to do. We don't know who he's going to lock onto, who he's going to favor. He could easily come out here and pepper Preston Williams with targets, just because we've seen that with rookie quarterbacks coming in. They, you know, they lock onto a certain player and just feed them. And then Devontae Parker could get 3 targets or whatever. Or he could favor the tight ends. You know, like, we just don't know what he's going to do and what he favors, right? So there's a wide range of outcomes here. I'm saying downgrade every Dolphins receiver until we have clarity next week and we have a sample size to go off of. So everyone just gets downgraded a little bit here, but I do think that you can still start Devontae Parker.
Right now I have Parker at 27, so he's more of a wide receiver 3 for me, but yeah, I agree with that. This is a variable. I hate variables when I'm trying to project, because right. I don't know what it's going to look like. So are you fading Mike Gesicki this week until we know what's going to happen?
Oh yeah, I'm not going anywhere near Mike Gesicki.
Okay. All right. I'm at 15, so again, he's in that range of somebody who I might be willing to start, but yeah, not...
Gesicki is one of the situations, like, if he goes off, I'm fine missing on that.
I understand.
One, right? Yep. You know, like, just because the wide range of outcomes, he can either give you 0 or he can give you, you know, 5 catches for 70 yards and a score, you know, it's just, but if he misses or if he hits, then I'm fine being the one to say that I missed on Mike Gesicki.
I've got no problem with that. Vikings visiting the Packers. This is a win game. Again, we, you know, right now the forecast is pretty bad. I'm going to assume Aaron Jones is out. You may know this by the time you hear this. Assuming that he is out, you are starting Jamal Williams, no problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As a borderline top 12 option.
What do you think you're going to do if Jones is in? I mean, I wouldn't expect him to get a full load of carries here considering he's missed practice. But if he is active, what do you do with the running backs?
Yeah, right now I haven't adjusted and projected Aaron Jones to be out. So I am projecting him to be playing right now. And that means that I have Aaron Jones at 16 and Jamal Williams at 20. But then check back on Sunday, youtube.com/fantasypros, my live stream from noon to one. I'll have clarity on that to be able to tell you, okay, this is exactly where Jamal Williams landed.
I think 16 and 20 is the exact numbers that were in my head. I think you'd have to push Jones down a bit. I think Williams still factors in, but I think they're both startable if that happens. You're starting Davante Adams, of course. I was not expecting Alan Lazard to play, and maybe you know about this, but he has practiced both days this week. There was a lot of, you know, there was nothing specific about what happened. You were like, oh, he had the surgery. He's on IR. I think it was like he could be out up to 8 weeks, but there was nothing ever definitive about him. But I certainly did not expect it to be like, okay, we're going to activate the window in week 8 and you're back. I mean, I was thinking at least week 10 at this point, but he may not play this week. Of course, he's got the 21 days, but considering your practice, if he does play, are you willing to start him in his first game back here against the Vikings?
No, not in his first game back. I think he needs to be rostered everywhere, but I don't think you can confidently plug him into your lineup. The variables there are just too drastic.
I agree with you there. How about Tonyan?
As a streaming option, I'm not super excited to start him.
Yeah. Are you starting Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson?
I have Aaron Rodgers at 2 this week.
Well, you're insane. I have him at 3. Vikings, things look good for Dalvin Cook here. So you're definitely starting him, right, if he's active?
Did he practice yesterday? I don't think he practiced yesterday.
I think he was limited.
Limited at practice. Yep,
yeah, but they basically came out and said, I mean, you're right, of course, if he's not active, that's fine. But I think there was the comment early in the week that he was going to be good to go for this game. So
yeah, I've got him at 4 right now. I'm projecting him to play. I've got him at 4.
Okay. And if he doesn't play, you would start Madison in this matchup where you, even though he had a dud in the one game he filled in.
Yeah, you start him, but you got to adjust your expectations. I would rank him as like a mid-range RB2 rather than 5, what I had him against Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I was a little too bullish on him as well. I think I'd probably have him a little higher than that. If Cook is out here again, I think they're going to try to control the game on the ground where you can exploit Green Bay. And again, there may be wins, but either way, we'll deal with that when it comes. But my guess is that Madison is more of like a borderline RB1 for me. You're starting Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, correct?
Completely.
How about your boy, Irv Smith Jr.? Are you starting him?
He's in that streaming tight end conversation. So he's at 15 or 16 in my rankings right now. He's in that range. So I think you can get away with starting him. But looking at some of the other options, like I would personally roll with Trey Burton over Irv Smith this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. Saints visiting the Bears. Michael Thomas is practicing. If he plays, you're starting Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah, of course. But I wouldn't put him into my rankings as a top 5 option.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I'm also not expecting him to play, but we'll see. But if he plays,
they need him to, because I don't know who the heck they have playing wide receiver this week. Emmanuel Sanders, I haven't heard anything. He's still on the COVID-19 reserve list. And then you look at their depth chart. I seriously went looking for this the other day. They have Traquan Smith and then Deontay Harris. And they don't have a third active wide receiver on the roster right now. So they would have to call up someone from the practice squad. Like I was trying to do my weekly projections article and I was like, I don't have a player to project. So I think
The good thing is they only need 3 points to win the game. So they should be fine.
Yeah, seriously.
Here. Sorry about that. That's fair. No, I agree with you. Well, so let me ask something. If Michael Thomas does not play, then are you willing to start the only receiver that they have on their roster in Traquan Smith?
As a low-end wide receiver 3. Tough matchup.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. And again, outdoors, you're not that jonesing. So I agree. That's basically what I have. How about Jared Cook, though? I mean, the guy, are you projecting him for his typical 3 catches, touchdown, and a top 6 performance?
With Michael Thomas out, or projected to be out in my projections, then I have Jared Cook as a top 7 option.
Yeah, I have him at 8. So I got no problem with that. And given the lack of options, not a great matchup, but of course you're starting Alvin Kamara. You have kind of been the Latavius guy this year. Are you starting Latavius Murray in this matchup, assuming Michael Thomas is out?
That is a bye week fill-in, but I've got him at like 36 in my rankings.
Yeah, I'm at 35 as well. For the Bears, this is a tough matchup for David Montgomery. Of course, we know the Saints, but you are starting him, right?
Yeah, 100%. David Montgomery, since Tariq Cohen went out in week 3, so from weeks 4 through 7, he's the RB16 in all of fantasy football. football. He's bringing an extremely safe floor. So I think because of his work in the receiving game, you got to continue to just plug him into your lineup. It might be something where you don't want to watch that game. And if you look at the box score, you're going to be happier than you were when you actually watched it. But yeah, I think that you got to plug in David Montgomery. I have him at 11 right now.
Oh, that's higher than I do. I have him at 18, but he's certainly a start for me without question this week because you got to do what you got to do. And this is where we are at running backs. If Allen Robinson clears the concussion protocol, then you are starting him, of course. If not, are you starting any other Bear but David Montgomery?
I think you, assuming that Allen Robinson, you know, in this situation, if Allen Robinson sits, then Darnell Mooney can be a high-end wide receiver four flex option. Not crazy about it, but I think he's going to get targets. And then Jimmy Graham would bump up to probably like a top 12 option for me just based on target workload. But then he comes with so many variables because Matt Nagy gives Demetrius Harris more targets than Jimmy Graham. It's so freaking stupid. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. So Jimmy Graham, I think just based on the projections, would move up to that range, but I'm not confident about it.
Yep. Chargers visiting the Broncos in Denver. Are you starting any Chargers running back?
I'll start Justin Jackson. I think that based on his workload in the receiving game, again, if I'm talking about LaMichael Pirine all the way up at 25, we better damn well be talking about Justin Jackson at 20. So that's where I've got him. So yeah, or 21, excuse me. So yeah, I think you can fire him up.
And no Joshua Kelly, though.
No, I've got Kelly down further. He's a running back three that, again, in the same category of a Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, a bye week fill-in option.
Yeah, I got to take a closer look at this because right now I'm back-to-back in my rankings, both as borderline RB2s. I think what it comes down to is I'm expecting Kelly probably to get a little more work than you are, so it makes neither one of them particularly enticing. But for right now, I have them back-to-back at 26 or 27 and 28, so it's not where I'm really that excited about, but I will take a closer look. Again, it's a tough matchup, and I just don't really have confidence in how that situation will play out. You're starting Keenan Allen in this game. Are you starting Mike Williams after a dud last week?
Nope. Stay far away.
Okay, where? Give me a number for him if you can pull that up.
So as soon as I said stay far away, I was like, crap, I don't know where he is in my rankings.
Right, that was like an aggressive, because I have him 38th, which is
of where. Okay, it paid off. I have him at 50.
Okay, very good. I like you're like, oh, I just recommended something. I wonder if that's right. You know, there we go. All right, so let me ask you about Herbert. Are you starting Justin Herbert?
Starting Justin Herbert, yes, as a top six option. Just came across.
That's what I was looking at. Yeah,
okay. Schefter, two more positive tests for two more players on two separate teams. A Broncos offensive lineman tested positive and a Vikings linebacker tested positive. So
yeah,
we'll continue to monitor that.
It is really, really difficult to assess the COVID situation at this point when we get reports like this, because sometimes it means that games have to be pushed back. Sometimes it means nothing because people are isolated. But of course, if there are COVID concerns, we will deal with that. Assuming the game goes, you're starting Hunter Henry?
Yeah, as a low-end tight end one.
Yeah, he's in the quote-unquote circle of trust where you're just throwing him out there even though you hate it. For the Broncos, it does look like Phillip Lindsay is going to be out this game, so you're good with starting Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, I've got him at 15.
Okay, very good. Starting anybody else on the Broncos?
If Tim Patrick sits, I think you can get away with Jerry Jeudy, but I'm not expecting anything crazy from him. He's just kind of a solid, you know, like safe, wide, low-end wide receiver three.
How about Noah Fant if Tim Patrick is out?
Even if Tim Patrick plays, then I think you can start Noah Fant. The expectations would jump. You know, so right now I have Fant, assuming that Patrick is not going to play, I have Fant at 7.
Yeah, I'm at 10. So I think he's a fine start this week. I know it was a little disappointing first game back, but I do think it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. I have Noah Fant at 8. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that, Yates. I like accuracy.
I know that somewhat, because I said Jared Cook was a top 7 option. I knew I was going to get someone on Twitter going, hey, you had Jared Cook at 7 and Noah Fant at 7.
If people are listening that closely and not checking your rankings page, it's almost like tip my cap. 49ers visiting the Seahawks. We talked about it on Wednesday, but tell me about the 49ers running back situation.
I want to stay far away. I understand that fantasy managers might not have that luxury to be able to completely avoid this backfield, but I mean, if you want to lean on volume, then I think you go with Jamichael Hasty. Tevin Coleman's not playing in this game, so I think Jerick McKinnon should, by all logic, see significant touches in this one. But man, I've got them pretty far down my rankings. I've got Hasty at 31. I was a little bit more optimistic on him early on in the week. I went back and looked at that game. So I've got Hasty at 31, McKinnon at 33.
Yeah, I have them a little higher than you, but essentially they're both right in the same range. It's where it is. You can get away with starting them if you need to as a flex, but it's something where I'm going to approach carefully in this matchup. How high are you on Brandon Ayuk this week with Deebo Samuel out?
It was crazy looking at Ayuk in my rankings because I was like, he'll probably be like a wide receiver 3. Nope, I've got him at 20 this week.
Oh, really? I am at 16. How about that? Yeah, it's crazy. I could not have felt the more of the same way because I was like, oh, yeah, when you first like eyeball it, right? You're like, oh, yeah, this is a wide receiver 3. It's Brandon Ayuk. I mean, it's not like you're getting that excited. And then you run the projections and you look at the matchups. You're like, oh, okay, then I'm starting Brandon Ayuk over everyone. That's just how it goes.
You want to hear something even more crazy?
I'm ready.
I've got Kendrick Bourne at 34.
There it is. That's what I like to see. Kendrick Bourne is for me 38. So yeah, let's do this. Let's go crazy with these wide receivers. And George Kittle, of course, a smash. Are you starting Jimmy G as a streamer?
Talk about another like one where I was like, oh yeah, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh no, I have him at 16. I had him at 13 earlier. And I just bumped him down just a little bit because of the variables of not having Deebo Samuel in the lineup. But man, smash spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's a fantastic streaming option this week.
Yeah, I have him at 18, so a little lower than you. But again, that's a guy who you can get away with if you absolutely have to. For the Seahawks, you are obviously starting Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. We don't know who is starting at running back right now. So here we go. Ready? If Chris Carson starts, you are starting him no problem, right?
Yeah, as a mid-range running back, too.
If Chris Carson does not start, but Carlos Hyde starts, are you starting Carlos Hyde?
Yes, as a mid-range RB2.
If Chris Carson does not start and Carlos Hyde does not start, are you starting DJ Dallas?
Yes, as a low-end running back, too.
Boy, that was good. Let's move on to Eagles in Philadelphia against the Cowboys. I have Carlos Wentz as my fourth-ranked quarterback
Carlos
right now.
Wentz. Where do you have him? Carlos yeah. Wentz.
It's Carson Wentz. Look, it's late in the show. I'm losing it. Carson Wentz at 4 right now. Where do you have him?
I have him at 9.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not sure he's going to end up at 4. It's probably going to be like 6, but yeah, he's up there.
Would
for
you
me.
Rather I'm start? Yeah, or did you ask this earlier? Would you start Patrick Mahomes or Wentz?
Well, Patrick Mahomes is my number 2 quarterback on the week, so I'm still expecting him. I think you can do a lot of damage against the Jets in 2 quarters, man. I think you can put up 4 touchdowns pretty easily, so I'm okay with him. I'm assuming Miles Sanders is going to be out here, and we talked about it. You are good to start Boston Scott if he is, right?
Yep. Yeah, I haven't fully protected that yet because I haven't gotten an official word on Miles Sanders, but the moment that I do, Boston Scott will shoot up to probably at like RB12, RB13 in my rankings.
And how high is Travis Fulgham in your rankings?
I have him at 14.
Yep.
Double checking that. Yep, 14.
Yep, I'm at 17. Great start this week. Great call by you on the Waiver Wire show where you had Rager higher. I was like, Rager's not going to play this week. I mean, they got to buy next week. No, he's good to go. How high are you putting him in his first game back?
Yeah, so he's at 43 right now in my rankings. Again, explaining my process that I do the projections and then bake into my rankings ECR. So as ECR continues to rise, Jalen Rager will continue to rise. I assume that he's probably going to land at probably about like wide receiver 30 or 31 ahead of guys like Sterling Shepard, Jerry Jeudy, Rashard Higgins, Scotty Miller, Kendrick Bourne.
I don't know yet. I got to read about this. I got to see sort of how much, what his snap count is going to be, whether they're just going to throw him back into the fire and be like, you are good to go fully. If he is, then yeah, I think that's where he's going to go. If it's not, I think he'll more be in the mid-40s, a guy you can get away with as a flex. And Richard Rodgers is a guy you can stream this week, right?
Yeah, I have him at tight end 12.
For the Cowboys, I am guessing this is going to be Ben DiNucci right now. I'm not sure it matters.
Yeah, 100% it's going to be. Andy Dalton's not practicing.
Okay. I'm not sure it matters. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Where do you have him ranked? Let's start with Amari Cooper. Where do you have him ranked this week?
23.
Yeah, I can't get Cooper beyond wide receiver 2 status. I've messed with the projections and tried to be like, I don't want to start Amari Cooper, but he's 22 for me, just like you. I can't get him down. How about CeeDee Lamb?
44.
Ooh, all right. See, this is one where I'm 36, but it is one where I'm like, that feels too high with Ben DiNucci in there. So it is one again. And Michael Gallup, do we go low enough for Michael Gallup?
62 right now.
All right.
I probably won't even rank him when I do my final cutoffs.
Right now I'm 55. All right, so let's talk about Zeke here. How are you feeling about Zeke this week? You're still starting him, correct?
You still have to start Ezekiel Elliott. With that being said, I have him at 17 this week, Dan.
Wow. Okay. I mean, look, it's not a good matchup, and he's looked bad. Now, the offensive line is going to get a little healthier here, but it's Ben DiNucci. Right now, I have him at 8, but it is something where my guess is he's going to end lower than that. He's not going to be 17 for me, but it's not something where when you say it, I'm like, there's no way you can justify that. I completely understand that is. So you are starting Darrell Henderson over Ezekiel Elliott.
100%.
Dave Montgomery over Ezekiel Elliott.
100%.
Melvin Gordon.
100%.
Man, I love it. Yeah, it's okay. So here's the thing.
So with my process, building in projections, right? And I use, to keep myself in check, I use the Vegas implied points. And so with the implied point totals, Dallas right now is at 17.5. With Ben DiNucci at quarterback, there's no way in hell that they are reaching 17.5 points unless the defense scores, right? So I just, and that with this defense, it's not going to happen. So, man, I just looking at the opportunity here for Zeke, he could get volume, but it's a very, very tough matchup for opposing running backs. I mean, Fletcher Cox and that defensive line in Philadelphia, where are you going to run? Again, especially with this offensive line. So Zeke is going to have to get a ton of targets out of the backfield, which he can certainly do. But even with his fumbling issue, with no real ceiling here for scoring, he's been the RB35 each of the past 2 weeks. I don't see why ranking him at 17 is so shocking. And I know that there are going to be plenty of people listening that just tune out right now. But he's been the RB35 each of the past 2 weeks.
Yep. No, I said, I'm going to have him higher than that. But it's not something that it's shocking when you first hear it. But it's not something that realistically, when you look at all the running backs who are there, you don't want to start Zeke. Yeah, you just don't. Right. But my guess is I will have him ranked a little higher than that, but not crazy. Right now he's 8th.
ECR has him at 5 last time I checked.
Yeah. I know. But you never know in the way that, let's see where. No, he's down to 8 now. He's down
okay,
to 8.
He was exactly at 5 yesterday.
And my guess is he'll still fall. My guess is when I'm done with it, right now I have him ranked ahead of Josh Jacobs. That's probably not how I'm going to end up, Boston Scott, if he gets a start, I don't know, we'll see. But I don't think you're crazy. I will have him ranked, I'm sure, higher than 17th, but I don't think you're crazy. Let's get to the last game here. Bucks visiting the Giants. Chris Godwin is out, as we know, with a fractured finger. You are down on Mike Evans. You've been down on Mike Evans for a while, but in this game with no Antonio Brown yet, with no Chris Godwin, you've got to be starting him, right?
Yeah, he comes back up. He's at 17 for me, but that comes with upside.
Okay, I am at 14, so we're in that same range. How about Scotty Miller here?
Yeah, assuming that he's good to go. I think he was limited in practice yesterday missed practice. So I have him at 33 right now. I think that you can get away with starting Scotty Miller as a low-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I've got him at 35. And Rob Gronkowski actually in the circle of trust, right?
Yes, I have him at 5 this week.
How about the running backs? How do you feel here about Jones? Fournette really cut into his workload last week. How do you feel?
Yeah, so I've still got Ronald Jones ahead of Leonard Fournette. However, I said on the Start Sit show that, or it was our live, I can't remember. I said that gap is going to narrow by the time that we get to Sunday. And it has. I have Ronald Jones at 18, and I have Leonard Fournette at 24. So I think looking at this, Ronald Jones should see the majority of the work on the ground in a good matchup. But yet, and especially with the way he's looked outside of last week, but yet it only takes one more drop pass. He has 4 drops on 26 targets this year. It's not great. So looking at the opportunity here with Leonard Fournette looking really, really good last week, I'm concerned. I mean, you can start Ronald Jones based on the other options. I would start Ezekiel Elliott over Ronald Jones, but yet, man, there it comes with risk. It's only one more drop and he's benched and he doesn't come back into this game.
Yeah, we talked about it that I thought he was past the point where he's not. He's certainly not. I have them both around where you do. I have Ronald Jones at 17. And Leonard Fournette at 22. So yeah, I don't know. You could start both of them, but I don't feel real comfortable about it. And you are starting Tom Brady, correct?
Yeah, I have Brady at QB4 this week.
Ooh, I like it. I don't have him that high, but he is a QB1. It doesn't look good for Devonta Freeman in this game. He's missed practice all week. Are you starting Wayne Gallman? Or if Devonta Freeman plays, are you starting Freeman? But if not, are you starting Wayne Gallman?
Again, starting Wayne Gallman based on just the fact that he's going to see work and should see work out of the backfield as a receiver. So I've got Gallman at 25. But again, and that's assuming that Freeman is not playing in this game. He hasn't practiced all week. I don't think that he plays. So Gallman is a high-end running back 3 for me. You can get away with starting him, but I'm not jonesing to.
Are you starting Darius Slayton?
Not if I can help it. I have Darius Slayton at 46 this week. I do not expect this Giants offense to do anything.
How about Shepard, though? Or do you have him higher than Shepard or lower?
No, I have Shepard at 30 right now, but I don't feel great about that. Like, looking at, he's going to match up against Carlton Davis, and Slayton will draw Jamel Dean. This Bucs defense is just fantastic. And so that's one where I look at Sterling Shepard, and I'm like, the numbers and projections have him at 30. I don't like that. I want to pull him down.
Yeah, I have Slayton slightly ahead of Shepard, but I have both of them as kind of borderline wide receiver 3s at this point. I don't like them. Somebody's going to have to catch the ball. We know it's not going to be Evan Ingram, because you and I don't ever rank Evan Ingram that way. All right, that's it. Yates, I appreciate you taking the time, of course, to come on and go through every matchup. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope everybody listening has a great weekend. Reminder, Sunday morning, as Yates mentioned, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. The guys do start sit shows, live streams, tags from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Yates from 12 p.m. right up until game time. If you follow us on Instagram at fantasypros, I take over the account from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and do an IG live where I answer all your start sit questions. Thank you to Magic Spoon Cereal. It is delicious. It is healthy. It is the perfect breakfast. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. And Felix Gray glasses, I guarantee you guys do not realize how much blue light your eyes are exposed to. You want to eliminate blue light and glare? Choose the best blue light glasses on the market. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/fantasypros. Try them out risk-free. felixgray glasses.com/fantasypros. We'll be back Sunday night breaking down that whole day's worth of action. I will talk to you then.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.